The news from Radio Australia for news in 1 minute's time. Then at 7:45, that's American Eastern Standard Time, right after the news, Kate Glover will be here with the mailbag for our North American listeners. 8 o'clock is the time for DX's calling. A roundup of notes from listeners on reception of many overseas shortwave stations. This is Radio Australia, transmitting the North American service from our studios in Melbourne. On 11.71 megacycles, equal to 25.62 meters, and also 9.58 megacycles, equal to 31.22 meters. Australian Eastern Time is 22:30. Here is the news from Radio Australia, heard by Rick Paul. First, the headlines. Australia is giving a further $100,000 in emergency aid to South Vietnam. The Federal Parliament will resume at Canberra on Tuesday. Australia and 18 other countries are contributing $1,200 million between them to replenish the resources of the International Development Association. A chain of 21 automatic seismological stations is being established in Fiji to study deep-seated seismic activity. Australia is providing a foreign service force for a group of 12 trainee diplomats from Asian and African countries. Now the news in detail. The Australian government will provide a further $100,000 in emergency aid to South Vietnam. This brings the total donation by the Australian government in the past month to about $300,000. The Minister for External Affairs, Mr. Hasluck, said in Canberra tonight, the new aid would be in the form of cement, reinforced steel, sounding board, and drugs. The aid already given to South Vietnam included vaccines, condensed milk, corrugated iron, and timber and roofing tile. Mr. Hasluck said the new materials would be sent to Vietnam as soon as shipping could be arranged. The Australian Federal Parliament will resume on Tuesday with a formal opening by the Governor-General, Lord Casey. It will be the first time the Parliament has met since Mr. Gorton became Prime Minister. Mr. Gorton, a former Senator, will be making his first appearance in the House of Representatives. Radio Australia's political correspondent says Lord Casey's opening speech in the Senate chamber will outline the guidelines to be followed by the government in its economic and foreign policy. Little variation from the policies developed by the Holt government is expected. It is reported from Paris that 19 countries, including Australia, have pledged a total of $1,200 million under a plan to replenish the resources of the International Development Association. Australia's contribution to the association, an affiliate of the World Bank, would be $24 million. Funds of the association, used for financing development projects in the poorer countries, were down to $52 million at the end of February. The plan to be sent to member governments for approval will make the money available to the association over 3 years, starting next November. The major contributors would be the United States with $480 million, Britain with $155 million, and West Germany with $117 million. An American economist has given three reasons why the Development Assistance Committee, of which Australia is a member, should continue financial aid to less fortunate countries. Mr. Edwin M. Martin, who is chairman of the Organization of Economics, Cooperation and Development, said giving aid helped satisfy a human obligation. It also created new markets for products and made better, more peaceable neighbors. He said members of the Development Committee should not be depressed if progress seems slow and disappointing. Mr. Martin, who has been in Australia for talks with members of the Development Assistance Committee, said aid money had risen last year above the 1966 level and would probably rise again when figures for this year were known. The Institute of Geological Sciences in Edinburgh is planning to establish a chain of 21 automatic seismological stations in the Lau Islands in eastern Fiji waters to study the intensive seismic activity in the region. The network will include a recording station manned by two men on the island of La Kimba, which would record impulses transmitted by seismometers on the other islands. Tilt meters would also be placed in Lau to record the tilt in the Earth's crust before and after earthquakes. The Lau region is known for intense earthquake activity, which, however, occurs too deep inside the Earth's crust to be felt by anybody on the surface. Radio Australia's Silver correspondent says the Institute hopes that the stations in Lau enable a more accurate positioning of epicentres of destructive earthquakes occurring in Indonesia. A group of 12 trainees has arrived in Canberra to begin a three-month foreign service training course. They've been sponsored under the Colombo Plan and the Special Commonwealth African Assistance Plan. The trainees are from Afghanistan, Botswana, Ceylon, Ghana, Indonesia, Korea, Malawi, Nepal and Canada. After an introductory week to provide them with background on Australian affairs, the trainees will be joined by 21 Australian diplomatic trainees for a combined course lasting until the middle of June. The aim of the training course is to give an understanding of the increasingly wide range of subjects with which modern diplomacy is concerned. The trainees will study international politics, economics and law. They will see developments in Australia in the industrial, economic and scientific fields, and will also visit the territory of Papua New Guinea. At the end of the course, some trainees will be attached for a brief period to Australian diplomatic missions abroad for practical training and experience. By then, Australia will have trained 76 foreign service officers from 18 African and Asian countries, 49 of whom have attended the joint foreign service training courses. The dispute between the Australian Federation of Air Pilots and the two major internal airlines over the mounting of DC-9 aircraft is expected to take a new turn in Sydney this week. The Pilots Federation has opened a prosecution under a no-strike clause inserted in their award last week by the Industrial Court in Melbourne. The no-strike clause was inserted because of the refusal of pilots to fly the DC-9s with crews of only two pilots. At a meeting on Friday night, the pilots reaffirmed their demands for three-man crew. The Pilots Federation will apply to have the no-strike clause overruled in a High Court hearing in Sydney on Tuesday. At present, Trans Australia Airlines' fleet of three DC-9s is grounded, but Anti-ANA is operating its fleet with three-man crews. In Melbourne, the head of Anti-ANA, Mr. Amper, has said that everyone will revert to a two-man crew this week. Mr. Ansett said no time limit on the two-man decision. Mr. Ansett put no time limit on the two-man decision, and it's expected the ruling will not be enforced until after the High Court hearing on Tuesday. Golf. The Malaysian Open has been won by Kenji Hosoishi of Japan with a four-round total of 271. Hosoishi finished four strokes ahead of Liu Lianhuan of Taiwan. Another Taiwan player, Kuo Chie Siong, was third on 276. Fourth place, nine strokes behind the winner, was shared by C.A. Min Lam of Taiwan and Walter Godfrey of New Zealand on 280. The best scores among the Australian competitors were 282 by Randall Vines and Bob Shaw. Continuing this bulletin, here again are the main points. Australia is giving a further $100,000 in emergency aid to South Vietnam. The Federal Parliament will resume at Canberra on Tuesday. Australia and 18 other countries are contributing $1,200 million between them to replenish the resources of the International Development Association. A chain of 21 automatic seismological stations is being established in Fiji to study deep-seated seismic activity. Australia is providing a foreign service course for a group of 12 trainee diplomats from Ocean and African countries. And now here is more news on Australia. The Australian Scientific and Industrial Research Organisation has begun field trials in New South Wales with a European rabbit flea, the newest weapon in its battle against rabbits. Flea has been the main agent in the spread of myxomatosis amongst rabbits in Britain, and the CSIRO is hoping to get similar results in Australia. Mosquitoes have been used as myxomatosis kills in the past. The rabbit flea breeds only on rabbits and has proved by tests to be harmless to man and domestic animals. An animal genetics expert, Dr. W.R. Sobey, said today the CSIRO now had 5,000 of the fleas and had started field tests on properties in three centres at Merlong, Mudgee and Armidale. He said it might take 18 months to complete studies on the effect of the rabbit flea. The scientists must establish whether it could breed and live in the drier parts of the continent and how many were needed to spread the myxomatosis. Australian dollar currency will become legal tender in the territory of Christmas Island in the Indian Ocean from May the 6th this year. The Minister for Territories, Mr. Barnes, said in Canberra today that the circulation of the new currency would bring Christmas Island into line with other Australian territories. Mr. Barnes said the currency now used there was the Straits and Singapore dollars. He said this currency had been retained for convenience since Australia assumed administration of the island in 1958. Mr. Barnes said the devaluation of sterling had brought about a devaluation of the Straits dollar. It had now been decided that Australian currency should become the only legal tender on the island. Facilities would be provided for Christmas Island residents to exchange their present holdings for Australian currency at the rolling exchange rate. An official of the Australian Wholesale Soft Goods Federation warned in Canberra today that the Australian cotton industry faced marketing problems in the future as new export markets for cotton are found. The newly elected president of the Federation, Mr. W. Williams, said it was expected that this year's raw cotton crop would exceed the requirements of the local spinning industry. He said an expansion of production without new export markets could lead to greater requests for government assistance. Mr. Williams said he did not favour a suggestion by some growers that tariffs be raised on imported cotton textiles, as many of the Asian countries supplying cotton piece goods to this market are vital outlets for Australian exports. He said in the long term, it may be in Australia's best interests to subsidise exports of raw cotton until production becomes more economic. Shooting. A man who lost all his possessions except his shotgun in the Tasmanian bushfires a year ago has shot his way to victory in the Australian Clay Pigeon Championships at Bunavar near Adelaide. The new champion, Paul Marshall of Hobart, outpointed more than 200 competitors from all Australian states and New Zealand. Shooting from 20 yards, he hit the target with every one of his 92 shots. The runner-up was a West Australian sheep farmer, Tim Kaffring of Katanning Gun Club, who scored 96 out of 97. Third was a New Zealander, Leon Brown of Taupo, with 95 out of 97. Yachting. Australians filled the first four places in the Pacific Moth Class Sailing Championships in Wellington in New Zealand. Perth Police Officer Brian Plum took the championship title, with fellow West Australians Graham Billingston and Brian Pearce filling second and third places. A Melbourne yachtsman, P. Davey, was fourth. The fifth and final race of the championship series was cancelled because of gale force winds. And that ends the news from Australia.
The news from Australia may be heard every day at 7:30 a.m. American Eastern Time on the frequency to which you're now tuned. Keith Glover with Overseas Pillbag in 1 minute's time. Australian Eastern Time, time to introduce once again Keith Glover with this week's edition of Listener's Mailbag, a weekly transmission to North America from Radio Australia. Hello everybody, and welcome to this week's mailbag. And thanks for your very nice type letter, Mr. Arthur Murray. Mr. Arthur Murray, at 443 Greenwood Avenue, Pottsville, Pennsylvania, 17901 in the USA. And you mention in your letter, Mr. Murray, the Radio Australia serial, Robbery Under Arms. And you are certainly right in comparing our bushrangers to the bandits of the American Wild West. It's an interesting fact, often not realized by Australians themselves, that Australia did have the somewhat dubious honor, perhaps, I would say dubious honor anyway, of challenging the United States for the variety and color of its bandits. And apart from the famed Ned Kelly bushranger gang, we've had many fairly colourful characters along these lines, and in far greater numbers than is thought here. Certainly it can be compared to your bandits of the American Wild West. Now, present historical research in Australia is unearthing much of the interest. I think it's just that being a very young nation, we've tended to neglect such inquiry in previous years. And, of course, it is interesting from the point of view of folklore as well as anything else to unearth all these stories, as many of them as we can. Now, let's have a look at your weather. Well, about your weather, anyway. We won't look at it. Well, I won't bother at the moment. Smaller icicles. Oh, yes, they may be bugging you at the moment. But you should try our past oven that we have at present out here in Australia. And believe me, the extremes of heat and water shortage can be pretty grim, too. To be compared, I think, to snow and icicles at the other end. Thank you very much for your kind greetings, which we heartily reciprocate to Mr. Murray. Arthur Murray, you know, that sounds like a name I've heard before. You don't trip the light fantastic, do you? Not that name, Arthur Murray. Arthur Murray of 443 Greenwood Avenue. Pottsville is P-O-T-T-S-V-I-L-L-E. One word, Pottsville's in Pennsylvania, where the zip code is 17901. And now there's another very nicely typed letter from Mr. Glenn Anderson. Glenn Anderson of 1100 New Jersey Avenue, Pine Beach, which is in New Jersey itself, and the zip code 08741. Hello there, Glenn. Well, it may be a year since you wrote, but as you say, you listen about three times a week to Radio Australia, so we're delighted with that news for a start. And you enjoy the programs very much, it seems. And yet I, too, hope that you'll soon have passed for your ham operator's license, so that you can get on the air yourself to have a bit of a powwow with Australian hams. And all sorts of fields will open up in front of you when you have that license, I'm sure. Let me know how you get on, won't you? And I think you'll find some interesting information about Australia in the books that we've sent to you from Radio Australia. So all the very best for now, Glenn. Glenn Anderson of 1100 New Jersey Avenue, Pine Beach. Two words, Pine Beach, New Jersey, 08741 in the U.S. Are you a newcomer to Radio Australia reception, Mr. Thomas Campanile? I think that's how you might pronounce your name, Mr. Thomas Campanile, C-A-M-P-A-N-I-L-E. Of 75 Fitz Street, Tappan, in New York State, 10983 in the U.S. If you're a newcomer, if so, may I extend a warm welcome to you. Also to my listeners' mailbag program. And we've noted your comments about your being unable to receive our evening transmissions. Well, actually, most other correspondents this week mention that they've been getting excellent reception. One correspondent even had to turn his receiver down to avoid being blasted. So he told me here in a letter I've got somewhere in mailbag. I'll probably be reading that later on. However, I hope things improve for you. And I hope you'll report again, too. Bye for now, Mr. Campanile. Mr. Thomas Campanile, C-A-M-P-A-N-I-L-E, 75 Flip Street, that's F-L-I-P-P Street, Tappan is T-A-P-P-A-N, or as I've been corrected recently, I should say it like you Americans do, it's T-A-P-P-A-N. Some people get a little bit confused with my saying double P or double some letter. That's in New York State, 10983. Now I want to give a very warm welcome to Radio Australia and Mailbag to Mr. Walter H. Ward. Walter H. Ward, W-A-R-D, of 6137 Chickering Court, Nashville. Nashville, of course, is Tennessee, and 37215 is the right zip code. Hello, Walter. You say that shortwave listening is a new hobby for you, and that you picked up Radio Australia about a month ago. Oh, a month ago from when this was written, and you enjoyed the program thoroughly. Well, that's fine. So I do hope that you'll become a closer friend of ours over the years. And you say that you'll treasure our verification as one of your first successes. Well, I don't suppose you expected this call on my mailbag program, eh? But don't you agree, Walter, that it's a splendid way of keeping in touch and getting to know fellow shortwave enthusiasts to hear a few letters being shared from amongst the enthusiasts around the big table, as I call it sometimes. Next time you write, perhaps you'll always have a few personal details and some news of happenings in your hometown. Would you do that for me? Do keep in touch, sir. And all the very best until I hear from you again. Walter H. Ward, W-A-R-D, 6137 Chickering Court, is spelled C-H-I-C-K-E-R-I-N-G, Chickering Court. That's in Nashville, Tennessee. Famous home of the pop groups, isn't it? And the zip code there is 37215 in Nashville. Pardon me. I've got a frog and a bad one. Got rid of him, I think. Nashville, Tennessee. I'm going to dash now right up to Connecticut and send warm greetings to welcome to you too, Mr. Albert Pont. Mr. Albert Pont, P-O-N-T-E, of 57 Brook Street, New Britain. That's two words, New Britain, Connecticut. And a QSL card, together with various booklets, is on its way to you. And regarding the other Australian stations that you've received, Mr. Pont, these may well include the very powerful transmissions from Perth in Western Australia. That's not part of Radio Australia. And as well, many of our listeners pick up transmissions going out from the Australian Broadcasting Commission in other cities to all parts of isolated Australian areas, such as those not having their own commercial stations or any other means of reception of the ABC. We call this our domestic shortwave service. And that one in Perth that a lot of Americans hear is part of the domestic shortwave service. Now, as you will note, Radio Australia does not transmit exclusively to Asia. Certainly not. And this greeting is coming to you via the medium of the special transmission that we have been to North American listeners. And as well, Radio Australia has regular transmissions in English to the United Kingdom, to Europe, and to Africa, as well as right round the Pacific area and up into Asia. Well, you see, as we're all under the broad umbrella of the ABC, I know that programs can be a little confusing to newcomers. Except for the important fact, of course, that Radio Australia, when it's putting out a special program, identifies itself frequently during transmissions. You'll hear an identification, I would say, at least every 15 minutes from Radio Australia. Most unusual when it isn't within that period. I'm hoping to hear from you again soon, Mr. Pont, but I'll say bye for now and move along to the next letter I have today. That was Albert Pont, P-O-N-T-E, of 57 Brook Street, New Britain, in Connecticut. I think that might be the first time I've called that spot in Connecticut called New Britain. You might just be interested to know, Mr. Port, that I served in a part of the Pacific campaign alongside some of your American colleagues in a spot called New Britain, which is part of the New Guinea and Solomon Islands group. New Britain, you might find it on your map, I should say. Well now, I've got the next letter out by now, and it's hello to W.A. Higgins of 990 North 9th Street, Colton. That's in California, and the zip code is 92324 in the U.S. I thoroughly enjoyed your letter, Mr. Higgins. As you say, you did the one you received from us at Radio Australia, so it's nice to know we've enjoyed each other's letters. And I'm so glad that our transmissions have been so clear in your part of the world. Yes, yours is the letter I was quoting earlier. They've been so clear, so much so, that you've had to turn the volume down, which is really something, isn't it, when one thinks of all that distance. Thank you very much for your interest in our quintuplets. It was indeed sad when one baby died, but they've moved now, the family, from Brisbane back to Tenterfield, where the parents lived. And we trust and pray, of course, that everything will go well for those four remaining babes. I look forward to your future letters. So goodbye till then, Mr. Higgins. W.A. Higgins of 990 North 9th Street, Colton, C-O-L-T-O-N, Colton, California, 92324, this is in the U.S. Hello there, Mrs. Vincent Ely. Mrs. Vincent D. Ely, or may I call you Marion? Your address is 1123 Northwest 3rd Avenue, Delray Beach in Florida. And the zip code there is 33 and 444, 23s and 34s in the U.S. And how nice it was to hear from you again, Marion, and I'm wondering how are things now at home. I do sincerely hope that the troubles from family illness have eased. But at least you've been following your hobby, shortwave listening. And you've sent me another very elegant call sign, too, I see here. It's a very smart one. And I'll be interested to hear about your verification report from your listening into our home service programs of the Australian Broadcasting Commission. You know, that sort of is a bit of a challenge, isn't it, to hear something on that's not got the same amount of power behind it, shall we say, when it's sent out from a country. Thank you very much for sending us the American magazine, and do keep in touch if it's only the outpost card whenever you can find the time. We appreciate that. And all the very best to you and yours for now. This is V. Ely, E-L-Y, of 1123 Northwest 3rd Avenue, Delray Beach, is D-E-L-R-A-Y Beach, Florida, 33444. And I'm happy that we've been able to send you a QSL card, William F. Groves, of 219 Covington Avenue, Covington, in Kentucky, 41011. And you say that you're just starting to send off reception reports, William. Well, as far as Radio Australia is concerned, these are our requirements. The shortwave listener should give the time, date, frequency, and other suitable details, read the set years and so on. Although the time, date, and frequency of hearing transmission are essentials. And as well, we like to have at least 15 minutes long or summary of what you've heard. Naturally, the neater and more concisely set out your report is, the more favourable consideration by any shortwave station, which must deal with thousands of letters. Or should I say, the quicker we'll go about answering it. Hello now to your wife, Diana, who would like to exchange postcards with other enthusiasts. Well, for an Australian pen friend, Diana, up to the age of 26 years, you should contact Operation Flow, spelled F-L-O-W, Operation Flow. Here's the address. It's Mr. John Vanderhorst. He's the chairman, but here's the essential. Post Office Box 178, Wangaratta, 3677, Victoria, Australia. So all the very best to you both, Marara. That's Mr. and Mrs. W.F. Groves, William and his wife, Diana, at 219 Covington Avenue, Covington, C-O-V-I-N-G-T-O-N, Covington in Kentucky, 41011. I want to say hello to Keith here, one of my namesakes, but it's Mr. Keith Fitzinger, or Fitzinger, is it? Keith Fitzinger, that's right, of 216 Philadelphia Avenue, Shillington in Pennsylvania, 19607. And Keith, I can well understand that your latest report to us is the first good one that you've prepared in over a month, considering the freezing weather that you describe. However, don't rush to transfer the whole of Pennsylvania to Aussie as you threatened. Please don't do that. I just couldn't stand the strain of having it bitterly cold at the moment. But just pause and consider there for a moment, Keith. We'll shortly be going into our winter, and meanwhile your birds will begin to sing and the spring flowers will dance beneath blue skies and... Oh, don't throw all that away, man. I'm joking, of course, but I'm sure that you'll soon be over this bad spell and that Pennsylvania will be a charming, sunny summer self. And I do hope that you'll like the informative booklets that we've sent to you, Keith, Rio, Climate and Geography. All the very best till I hear from you again. Keith Fritzinger, Fritzinger, 216 Philadelphia Avenue, Shillington, Pennsylvania, 19607. And hello to Mr. Paul Casey Jones now. Paul Casey Jones of 232 Yantic Street, Norwich in Connecticut, 06360. And I think you may have seen a write-up in your newspaper, Paul, about the Australian emu. This is very like an ostrich. Certainly has the kick of a mule. And it does look a little bit like your scrub turkey, except that it's tall, like the ostrich. And I'll certainly pass on your kind greetings to Jacko the Kookaburra, that gives the Australian, the Australian call sign. How very interesting that you've been, or that there have been further archaeological discoveries in your district. That's very good. Do keep in touch with the latest news for us, won't you? I'll say goodbye till I hear from you again, Paul. Paul Casey-Jones, 232 Yantic Street, Norwich, Connecticut, 06360, and I must dash. This is Keith Lovis saying bye until the same time next week. Bye, everybody.
Thank you, Keith, who just made it for the time signal for 23 hours Australian Eastern Time. This is Radio Australia. We're transmitting the North America service from our studio in Melbourne on 11.71 and 9.58 megacycles. Time now for DX's calling.